Point 68. We're dealing with the subversion of American civilization by the super elite and the secret societies. These are not innocuous institutions. They have goals and objectives. What president running against another president was saying, they were asking about one of them, the one at Yale. They were asking him about that, and he said, "I can't tell you, it's a secret society, huh?" And the individual that he was running against, they were both in the same thing. Oh, I don't quote me. I think it was Skull and Bones. That's a nice name, isn't it? Bush. Yeah, and the guy he ran against, yeah. They were both there being interviewed, you know. See, it's like we're enemies, and then they're buddies. This is the same thing with others that were supposed to be real button heads, political opponents, and then they get together and drink and blah, 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 blah. So all this charade goes on. And it's any wonder that the political system can be easily subverted. And now with technology, who knows? But, you know, I don't care anymore. I don't get worked up about it anymore. I know where we're at. I can have inner peace and move forward and know that their day is coming. I'm not happy that people are going to perish, obviously, but they are. They're going to go down in the day of his wrath. And the rich of America can go and have their elaborate underground cities. These aren't these little funky bunkers. And they had us all scared about nuclear war and everything. I remember back in the day, in a little school I was in, the grade school I was in Hot Springs, South Dakota, we had drills. We jumped under our desks down there. That's going to do us so much good. Who thought of that one? It's all psychological. It's to gear people up, the psychology. And I see things online. What states in the United States are the most likely to succeed in a nuclear war? Well, the one I'm studying, none of them. None of them. So there is this talk, and of course everything that scientists think, run for cover. Paid liars, my brother called them. Trained and paid liars. They're highly certain that in the next not very long that the human race is going to become extinct. That's the stuff they put out. See? Because they do not want the truth. They're not interested in the truth. There are writers and people who do expose these things. But you have to find out who they are and who wrote the book and get it. There were those that did their research and brings out all the dirty laundry and exposes evil. But it never gets mainstream to speak of. Because, you know, we have the comfort factor, just sit there and be a sponge. They knew that they were going to use the media to condition us mentally. They talk about it. Back, way back in the day when TV was in its infancy. You repeat it over and over again. You keep shoving it through movies, through various media, and that's what becomes the norm. There are those people with integrity who will stand up. Some of them have lost their lives doing it. The good things about America, such as her Constitution, can't argue with that one, and Bill of Rights, have been subverted by the involvement in the Masonic and the arcane in many ways. I know anybody listening to thinks that I hate living here. No, I don't. I really like it. I really like it. It's afforded me the opportunity to have religious freedom and to pick the faith of my choice without persecution from a state-sponsored religion like you have in other countries from time to time. And enjoy the good life. I do pretty well materially, thankfully. Thank the Lord and thank my congregation. I do pretty good materially. Okay? But that isn't where my happiness is ultimately. It's in the Lord and His Word. And I don't care what kind of situation might befall me, He's going to be there for me. He's done it for me in different ways, out of left field. I didn't expect it. Delivered me in the past from various things. He's delivered me from you know, when I had that issue and had to go to the hospital. I've told you this one. But miracles don't impress some people. These people saw the miracles of Jesus. Does that mean they all jumped on board? No, not by any means. When they came to me, and a member of my church was the head doctor out there at Deaconess Hospital, they said, "Jack, we have bad news." "What?" "Your kidneys are this close to complete failure." 3 or 4 days later, they came in and said, "We ran a test and they're 100%. And she's standing over there and she says, "We didn't do anything. It's a miracle." And it was a miracle. God still does miracles. And I've told you stories about needing a certain amount of money. Back in the 70s, it wasn't, you know, what's $11,000? And it came in the mail. Brenda's father gave an early inheritance check. And it was exactly what I needed. To the dollar. And I'd been walking that park out there and praying about it. And I felt good about praying about it. "You're praying for money?" "Yes. I'm praying for a deliverance." "Well, you didn't do everything wise with your money." "No, I did not. I've overspent, overdone that from time to time. I still got delivered." So I've seen a lot of this. '69, the Washington Monument is an obelisk, which is a known phallic symbol. Go figure. There's three of them on the earth. The male sex organ, represented by a monument. There's one there. There's one right outside the Vatican. And there's one in the city of London, in that enclave that's not a part of London proper. Technically, it's a separate enclave within the deal. It's just like D.C. is a separate enclave within the United States. And that one down there, Vatican City, they're not a part of. They're part of geography of Italy, but they're not. They got their own government, their own deal. Okay. And they brought that one up out of Egypt. A pagan symbol that goes back in time. Now, what are they putting this out in front of the Catholic Church for? People just... D.C. is a city that reeks of occult or Masonic architecture. This whole thing was built in a Masonic... See, oh, the Masons were all into architecture, masonry, art, building things and having symbolism. Illustration. Bishop Pike. He's a good guy. No. A Civil War general and leading intellect of masonry is honored by his statue standing opposite the Department of Justice. Couple this with a Judeo-Christian heritage in our Constitution. America is schizophrenic. Had the population of Christians loved Bible doctrine, we would have rooted out this evil by now. If we had acted based on the numerics of the population of this country, a big majority of actual born-again Christians acted like salt of the earth, be a different country. But we have loved mammon, money, more than God. Mammon is a transliteration found in the Authorized Version of the Bible, and it derives from the Syrian god of riches, referred to in those verses in Matthew and Luke. It's translated in the New American Standard as wealth. It is a derogatory term for wealth rather than a neutral term. It is wealth that is substituted for God, and so is a form of idolatry. This is what keeps the unhappy population of America from throwing out the money changers and their prostitutes in public office. These people can be bought so easily. Top politicians, bribed. They also can be blackmailed if they're involved in activity, and they know they'll drop this on them if they don't vote and do what they want them to do. They catch them somehow. And something that even today would be scandalous. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Not money, the love of it. 1 Timothy 6:10. It corrupts religion, scientific endeavor, politics, business, et al. Positive believers are to cultivate contentment and avoid the frantic search for happiness, FHS, via the details of life, Hebrews 13:5. This is advice given to Christians. Let your conduct be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I'll never forsake you, nor will I will never desert you, nor will I forsake you. In the metaphorical cup of verse 6, by which the American whore has made drunk the nations, verse 3, is this sorcery or propaganda in which she holds herself up as the best hope for mankind. The best hope for mankind is Jesus Christ and the establishment of his kingdom on earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As the right example of virtue among the nations, this is the first seal judgment. The rider on the white horse. You know the one that has a bow but no arrow in it? I think about that one from time to time. For now, without being overly dogmatic, I think it refers to the fact that our nuclear arsenal, as sophisticated as it is, will be completely neutralized. We will not be able to retaliate. That was supposedly the doctrine that was out there with regard to the nations with nuclear missiles and submarines and all that. Mutual assured destruction. No, Jesus Christ controls history. Not those who have their finger on the button, so to speak. Huh. No. They will not make one move, one decision that interferes with the least principle, anything within his plan. That's why, through history, everybody who would come to salvation was foreknown. He knew about you and I forever. He didn't learn about us. He always knew about us. And he knew what it was going to take in time to keep us alive and get us to a gospel hearing. He's got everybody pegged on this. So, obviously, in some instances, there has to be some kind of supernatural intervention to protect and deliver people from things that would otherwise have brought them down before they got to make the salvation adjustment. So you have to think about this, everything. He's, you know, he knows all your thoughts all the time, before, after, and during. It's mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling. There is nothing hidden from God. Nothing. He knew about this person before they ever came on the scene. Everything they were going to do, good or bad. Integrated all into his plan. And to humans, things look chaotic. No. Out of the chaos will come a new world order. Not the one of the elite. Not their new world order like George Bush Sr. when we were sticking our nose in the Middle East. And what's with this war with Iran? It's just a big damn stalemate. They're going to do it, and then they're not going to do it, and they're going to do it, and then it's just, you know. Yet another reason for Babylon's destruction. We got blood on our hands. Not just blood of people in general. When you finance communism, you got blood on your hands. Just because you're the head of a mafia organization, you never pull a trigger, doesn't mean you don't have blood on your hands. You're head of a mafia organization, and you can sit in your penthouse or whatever and send your people out there to do all the dirty work. And in her was found, this is language of accommodation. Excuse me, just a second here. And in her was found the blood, Hima, of prophets, plural, and saints, believers in general. We've seen that before. And all who have been slain on the earth. You might argue with that one. All who have been murdered, slain, sfrazzo, upon the earth. I left out the heurisco one. I managed to not put that in there. Aorist indicative heurisco. Anyway, sorry. Big deal. The force of the second conjunction because, in verse 23, it carries over into verse 24, presenting another reason for America's fall, namely her blood guiltiness. To emphasize the third reason in the angel's address to America, we don't want to lose track of that, the announcement switches from the second person to the third. The speaker uses the indirect mode of speech in presenting an additional reason for the impending judgment. This is presented as a general self-evident fact. Jerusalem had a long history in shedding righteous blood. Prophets died in their streets. Jerusalem, the holy city. It had a history that went on. The Old Testament corroborates this part of the indictment as well, that we are guilty of taking innocent lives, or people in general, and our policies. Now, God has all the facts on that. I can't illustrate it, but He has all the facts here regarding this reality. Babylon number one will be judged for the same crime. The Babylon of chapter 17 is not the one of 18 by any stretch. They just happen to coexist in history. The Babylon of 17 is a religious entity, the Roman Catholic Church. And God's got an indictment against her. And He's going to use the most evil man on earth, arguably, to take her out, the Antichrist. Just like He's going to use Russia to take us out. And then He'll deal with them. Blood and injustice are not avenged. Cries out from the earth against the perpetrators. Genesis 18:20. The context there. Let me see. I don't want to misstate that. Slip my mind for a minute. Yes, this is the viciousness that went on in Sodom and Gomorrah, and people died as a result of this militant homosexual activity in the city that the rulers wouldn't put down. They were raping people. That's why the visitors that came to visit Lot, the two angels, they said, "Oh, we'll just stay out in the street." "Oh, Lot, you can't stay out here at night. Please come stay with us." Lot has his own motivations, and that is he was hoping this might be a business deal he could make. And those two angels were there to get him out of the city because of Abraham's intercession for his nephew. The destruction of America satisfies the requirement against a nation that has lots of blood on its hands and has not suffered the full measure required by divine justice. As pointed out in previous Bible classes, America could have recovered. I would have healed Babylon, but Babylon wouldn't be healed. Fact. So whenever you hear some dummy saying, "I just think America's going to turn around." Yeah. You don't know the prophecy, so you don't know the reality. The only other way a nation could satisfy God's plus R in it is the nation repented of its evil, took refuge in grace like the Assyrians did under the preaching of the reluctant prophet, the hostile reluctant prophet, the bad-tempered mannered prophet. Jonah came to town with an attitude. "I hate those damn Assyrians. They can all perish and go to hell as far as I'm concerned. But I got a job to do." And that's to walk in there and give them the gospel and tell them what they needed to do. He didn't enjoy himself when they all turned to the Lord and God called the dogs off. Can you imagine? He didn't like that. An interesting study, case study of a believer. He knew if God was sending him to Assyria, that He wasn't sending him up there to be tortured and killed, that the Assyrians were going to come front and center with the truth. And they spared that Gentile empire and gave it another lease on life. And it had 40, I think 40 is the number of tests. It had 40 days left. That's how close they came to the edge. and pull back under the preaching of Jonah. And the whole time he was up there, he was didn't have a good attitude. But he did it, and he had to write about it. He had to tell his true story. It's just reporting facts. Christians, a lot of them are so stupid about what believers can and can't do. Aren't they? Believers can do anything an unbeliever can do. And there's some a bunch of examples in the Bible of horrific things believers have done. Believers. Murder, etc. And they're still believers. So this mentality that's in fundamentalism, that once you get saved, you don't want to do those. Leave me alone. You didn't read your Bible, did you? Your fraud of a pastor didn't get this information in front of you so you could process it. A believer can do anything an unbeliever can do. You know, heaven is not going to be like surprise, but there's going to be some people in heaven that you never guessed were believers in time. It only takes one act of faith. Up there. Like someone said to me, what if Hitler was a believer? What if he was? He said some good things about Jesus Christ, by the way, I've read. It could have been just for show. Who knows? God knows. How could you do that? I have a sin nature. So do you. Yeah, I have doctrine too. But it gets the best of us from time to time, and sometimes in really bad ways. Hopefully, you won't go there if you've been there. Both Babylon's in Revelation. I got ahead of myself. The prophets are a subcategory with the broad category of saints. Both Babylon's and Revelation are found guilty of slaughtering believers over the course of their respective histories. We know this about the Catholic Church. That gross system under the name of Christendom has murdered millions of people. Jews and Christians. Those that would not join the Catholic ranks. In Europe, the Spanish Inquisition. They're just slaughtering people because they don't believe what you believe? This might at first glance seem to pose a problem since the gift of prophecy is no longer extant during the time of American history. Who then might these prophets be that were murdered as a result of American perfidy? Unless the term here is used in an antithetical sense of those who prophesied with respect to the last days and America's role in perpetrating slaughter throughout the nations. Actual prophets exist once again in the trib, beyond that of the two witnesses. The other entity that will be guilty of murdering saints is that of the Antichrist and the false prophet, the massive genocide as per the fifth seal judgment and the rest of it. The mark of the beast genocide machine. In Western Europe. It is confined largely to Western Europe. The Antichrist will not rule the whole world. He'll have that as his goal, but he won't get there. But where he operates people will be required to take the mark, or they can't have a job, and they can't go shopping. And then they'll up the ante, we'll kill you if you don't take this mark. And those who are faced with that situation are not to resist. Kill me. I'm going straight to heaven, and I'll be back real soon. And they're in heaven asking the Lord, how long before you're going to avenge our blood? They already know how long it is. It's rhetorical. It's for effect. And he's basically saying, be patient a little longer. I'll take care of it. And will he ever? The additional phrase, and those who were slain on the earth, includes humanity beyond those who are saints or believers in Jesus Christ. American international relations has resulted in the killing of millions upon millions of people via proxy, as in the case of our support for communist regimes in Russia and China and elsewhere. And we all made it sound good. Normalization of relations. We're going to show them we care about them, and we're going to reform the monster, which, of course, is a joke. Covert and overt actions lead to the rise and brutality of these regimes. It is part of the record for all who do this, do the necessary research. It is expunged from the official textbooks, but it's not hidden from God. America will pay with the loss of nationhood, citizens, and eternal disapprobation. You know what they're going to say in the millennium if someone acts up? You're acting like an American. There's going to be a smoky monument on the new earth that forever is going to celebrate the destruction of the Babylon system. We'll get to that maybe, if we aren't raptured out of here this year. Okay? I'm probably canceling again this week. It's going to be fairly hot. We'll get back to normal the next week. I'm prophesying it'll be fine. It's the way it goes. If you don't like it, get online and listen to some doctrine. There's a ton of it out there. If you don't know some of these doctrines and haven't been over them, the doctrine of the identity of the Antichrist, you can look at all the others you want to, too. The doctrine of the blood of Christ, the doctrine of the flat earth. It's under the doctrine of biblical cosmology. Satan had to overturn the true cosmology presented to any sane person who can read Genesis chapter 1. That shoe does not fit the cosmology that is popular in the cosmos. One, by the way, that's going by the waysides. We're seeing the beginnings of it going by the waysides. Oh, it'll die a hard death, but it's going to go by the waysides. And it is not going to be the popular cosmology when the human race moves into the trib. They're going back to the cosmology of the days of Alexander the Great, the Greeks and others. The cosmology of this, of the ball earth and all that mess, it came out of the Ptolemaic era by some Greek philosopher. He made this up. Before there was telescopes and whatevers, he made this up. He said the earth was a ball, but the sun was running around it. Versus the earth running around the sun. Pythagoras. He was a real good mathematician too. His geometry formulas, we still use them. Yeah. And guess who bought that cosmology and perpetuated it down through the line? the Catholic Church. I used to think the Catholic Church believed in its early history of flat earth and then went over to this. No, 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 no. What they did is they modified it. They modified it in their history to have the sun running, the earth running around the sun. The guy in the upper room, you know. His name slips my mind right now. And he came up with that. You know, he had a ball that represented the sun. He had sticks coming off of it that were the different, quote, planets. And the Jesuits were watching him day in and day out. And finally they signed off on it. And they took it to all the universities and the capitals around. And the last nation to buy into it was China. Before it became entrenched in the universities and the governments of the world. All right, I'll let you go. See you then. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us. In Christ's name, amen.